Ephesians chapter 4. I wanted to just a couple of things here. Verse 1, Paul the Apostle says, I'm a prisoner of the Lord. And he said, I beseech you to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Every one of us are responsible to walk worthy of the calling of God. There are a number of religions out there today, and I want to be really careful on this. There are a lot of religions out there today that they make their pastor their priest. And that priest has taken a lot of things away from the what we call the priesthood of the believer. Each one of us are a priest. And so I want you to get this. I don't want to miss this now. Because of that, we fundamentalist, Bible-believing believers, sometimes we have taken that so strongly, and they have gone so far to the left, we slammed that thing so far to the right, and we said, nobody's over me. I rule my own destiny. No, that's not what it is. The Bible gives you a pastor. And that pastor is to perfect the saints. His responsibility is to be over you, not lords over you. You understand that? And that's what the priests have done. They'll say, don't read the Bible. We'll read it for you, and we'll tell you what it says. No, that's not true. The truth is that it is our responsibility to read our Bible and make sure that man of God is preaching the Word of God as the Bible says. And when he does, we say amen. And when he doesn't, we say, oh me. And it's everything like that. You know, the whole world is like that. If one person says one thing, there are certain people who go far to the left. And then there's other people who go so far to the right that they're incorrigible. You can't even live with them. But I just want you to understand that Paul the Apostle is saying, now listen, I know there's a priest and a believer, but what do you say? You follow me as I follow Christ. When he doesn't follow Christ, don't follow me. But as long as the man of God is straight to the Word of God, and he is a straight shooter and teaches the Word of God and preaches the Word of God, and he is perfecting you. Perfecting is a very strong word. I'm going to talk to you about it a little bit. But the responsibility, Paul said, these are the gifts that God gives to the church. He gives the apostles, and they're gone. To be an apostle, you had to see the Lord Jesus Christ after he was raised from the grave. Paul the Apostle could be one because he did see him, remember, on the road to Damascus. But all those people who have ever seen the Lord Jesus Christ raised from the grave, there's no more of those. So there's no more apostles. And then there's prophets, so there's seers. Pretty much they're gone. And some evangelists. Thank God for them. They're still around. Joe Marks and Bobby Brown and great men of God, the preacher evangelist. And the evangelist comes in and afflicts the comforted, and the preacher has to comfort the afflicted after he leaves. Amen. And so they're a great blessing to your church. You only get them a little bit. So you enjoy them while they're here. And then they go, but then you got the pastor teacher. And he's here to do what? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's his responsibility. That's my responsibility. I didn't ask God for it. God put me into it. This is God's call to my life. Therefore, I am going to stand before a holy God and give an account what I've done behind this pulpit. You all understand that, right? Therefore, I have chose to stay the course. I have chose to say, you know what? I'm going to stay with the Word of God. I'm not going to change my translation. I'm going to stay in the old King James, authorized version. I am going to stay with the right kind of music. I'm going to stay with soul winning. I'm going to stay with helping the fatherless and the widows and live unspotted from this world. I'm going to stay there. Therefore, hear me and hear me well. It is your responsibility to follow the leadership of your church. And I is that. Amen. Bible said, salute them that have authority over you. Literally, come to attention. There are some people who are unwilling to come to attention. you guys walking down the sidewalk and you got the commander coming by you, you just don't say, "Hey, dude." I really have a hard time people calling preachers by their first name. I just really have a hard time about that. My dad, he just pitched a fuss about it. We had a pastor named Dwayne Lindsay. He's the only pastor I know his first name. But he demanded that people call him by his first name. And my dad would not do that. He said, "No," he said, "Pastor, you always be my pastor. You're Pastor Lindsay." And he looked at me and said, "Isn't he?" And I've always been willing to give respect where respect is due. And I think that's very, very, very admirable. I think that's very important. Amen. Very important. Salute them that have authority over you. Those that have authority over you, for the most part, don't want to have the authority over you. But they have been put in the call. God has called them, and therefore they will do what they have to do what God wants them to do, because they are His servants and not your servants. I'm not your servant boy. I'm God's servant boy. I bow to Him. I do not bow to you. I will work hand in hand. I work shoulder to shoulder. I'll run the race with you. But I have a responsibility to the Almighty God to do what He's told me to do. If you have a problem with that, you haven't studied your Word of God and you don't understand the Bible. You've taken what people have said instead of what the God's Word said. Study it. See what it is. So I want to talk to you. I want to preach to you today on the fact of perfecting the saints. God has given to man a church and a pastor to constantly remind of us of our responsibility to guard our hearts from the terrors of Satan. Paul, in perfecting the saints at Corinth, wrote, 2 Corinthians 2:11, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." What is he saying? I want you to know. I want to perfect you to understand that there's Satan out there, and he's got some devices, he's got some plans, and he's going to try to ruin you. And he's going to put you in a position that you are either going to be embarrassed and do wrong, or say, "I'll suffer the embarrassment, but I'm going to do right. I'm going to stay the course." And Paul's perfecting the saints. He says, "I just want you to know that this is what I've got to remind you of." God has given man many illustrations, the old Word of God, to guide his life, to guard his heart, and to guide his mind. Jesus told his disciples, John chapter 13, verse 15, "For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." What was Jesus doing? He was perfecting his saints. He said, "Listen, you see how I've treated people, now you treat them the same way. So therefore, in my walk, in my life, how am I treating others? Am I treating like Jesus, or am I treating like me?" Now, I don't want to treat people like me, because sometimes I get ornery. And sometimes you get ornery. And I'd rather you treat me like Jesus than treat me like Rick. Peter reminded the brethren that Christ is our greatest example. James chapter 5, verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." So Jesus suffered, and he did a pretty good job, didn't he? So he says, as Jesus suffered, he's our example, so we're to suffer. Well, that's a blessing, amen? But it's true. So Peter's perfecting the saints there. James reminded the Christians of the Old Testament prophets in chapter 5, verse 10. He said, Take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, afflictions, and of patience. That's something that most of us don't have unless you're a doctor. Patience. Or a nurse, I guess. Fourth, the great preacher Jude, over in Jude 7, he said this, "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in the like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, and set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of the eternal fire. He said, I want you to know, this is what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah, and the city's running. By the way, you keep doing that, and you're going to suffer the same thing. What's he doing? He's perfecting the saints. He's reminding us that everything we do, there is some kind of outcome to it. You will pay. You will suffer the consequences. Son, don't you do that again. Or, I will. Son does it again. Father's a good, righteous man. He makes him suffer the consequences. He does not let it go. See, when you let it go, you confuse people. There's a lot of confusion today. The Lord God works in mysterious ways. His wonders to behold. There are certain times that we may do something against God, and we just think that it, well, he forgot about it. One day is like 1,000 years in God's eyes. Or 1,000 years like one day in God's eyes. It's coming. So whatsoever a man sows, he also reap. Very careful we understand that. And what am I doing to you? I'm perfecting the saints. I'm trying to get you to understand. You do this, this is the outcome. According to the Holy Scriptures, there is no better place to be perfected than your local church, by your local pastor, who is responsible for you and your perfecting. May I say this? You cannot get what you get here anyplace else in the world. Amen. Some of you people have been out of church for a while. You know there's no perfecting going on. Things are not brought to your mind. Things are not constantly hounded on and pounded on. But you come to church and you will get what God has encouraged you to do. If you miss church, you miss the perfecting of the faith. And when you miss the perfecting of faith, you miss out the blessings of God upon your life. First of all, God gave you a local church. It's called the Ekklesia in the Greek. It means call out assembly of baptized believers. Ekklesia, call out assembly of baptized believers. Say it. Ekklesia, call out assembly of baptized believers. That's what we are here today. We got an Ekklesia in an airplane today. If we all got an airplane and flew off someplace, I could get in there and preach. I don't think we want to baptize, but anyway. But we could have an ecclesia in the church. We could go down to the pig pen and have an ecclesia. Go to the horse corral, we have an ecclesia. If we said we're going to meet someplace, somewhere, that is ecclesia, called out assembly of baptized believers. And in the call out assembly of baptized believers, God gave you shepherds and ministers and bishops, presbyteros, subterranes of the force. Those are the men that are called pastors. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Take heed unto yourself and to all the flock. He's writing to the pastors. He said, take heed unto yourself. A lot of preachers ought to take heed to themselves. And to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer. The people that are so far to the left on the priesthood of the believer, and I mean, as far to the right on the priesthood of the believer, said, well, there's nobody going to tell me what to do. Wrong answer. What is an overseer? He oversees everything. He makes sure everything is done. And if something goes wrong, the buck stops at him. And everything goes right, it's everybody's fault. Amen? So the Bible says, take heed therefore unto yourself and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost, sounds pretty important, if the Holy Ghost put you over it, made you overseer, to feed the church of God, to perfect the saints. Scripture, which he hath purchased with their own old blood. God said, okay, here it is. You, therefore, take heed yourself, preacher. And then you, to the flock of God, you make sure, what the Holy Ghost has put you overseer, that you feed the church of God, which is purchased by all my own blood, he says. So he says, preacher, you make sure you understand your job is to, first of all, take care of yourself. You make sure you're the holy man. You make sure you're the man of God. You make sure that you can live a life that people can point to you and say, you know what? You ought to live like preachers here. And then he said, you feed the flock of God, what God has made you oversee of. First of all, you got to make sure, by the way, Paul gave requisites to the church, 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 8, telling about how the pastor is supposed to live. These are the men that you can choose. And gives a requisite. These are the things. This is what you have to do. If you go in, you're looking for a job, you have to fill out a job thing. You got to make sure you got them all down right. Then you can be a pastor. Then he says, you feed the flock of God. And he said, I just want to remind you, I purchased this by my own blood. I want to keep the preacher pretty straight, amen? God said, I want you to know, I bought that by dying for this place. I shed my blood. Preacher, you make sure you are overseer. The Holy Spirit has made you that, but you make sure you feed that people. You make sure you take care of it. You oversee. You make sure it all works together. That's a great responsibility of the pastor, isn't it? It's a great responsibility. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints of Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Paul describes the requisites of the bishop, the minister of the overseer, one who is in charge of directing of all things, whether it be nursery to the preaching. He's director of all that. We call it the ex officio member of any organization within the church. In other words, he's the boss. Some of you hate your bosses. Some of you are stupid. Never hate your boss. Thank God for him. Pray for him. He might be a better boss if you behave yourself and quit your crapping and complaining and grumbling. Well, amen. He is the director of everything, anything. They are God's leaders, they're God's servants, men of God, doing God's work among God's people. Well, let me illustrate. At the church of Jerusalem, they're having a crisis. This church had literally exploded attendance, never seen before and still never has been. In 3 weeks after the Lord Jesus Christ, 4 weeks after the Lord Jesus Christ had went back to heaven, this church went from 120 to 3,000 in one Sunday preaching by Peter to 5,000 more, just men, not counting the women and children. So we know there's at least 8,120 people going to this church, at least. You talk about population explosion. You talk about good and that. What happens? Here we have 120 here, and all of a sudden, by next Sunday, we have 3,120 people here, and the next Sunday we got at least 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. Where I come from, that's a gob of people. Now, Montana's don't understand it too much, but well, you go to some other place, you don't understand it. The population, amen. So, when this happened, one of the big issues was how we're going to take care of these people. And then it came up, there was a problem that there were the widows, the Grecians. They were not Greeks. They were Hebrew ladies that could not speak Hebrew. They spoke Greek. That's all the difference was. And they felt that they weren't being treated properly. It's probably they asked for a hot dog and somebody brought them an egg. They didn't understand their language. But anyway, whatever it was, they didn't understand it. And so they came before the preachers, and they came to the apostles and asked help. And the apostles said to the church, and I read, Acts chapter 6, verse 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, and there arose murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should do what? Got it in your Bible? We should not what? Leave the word of God. What is the responsibility of the pastor? To perfect the saints. How can he perfect the saints unless he knows the word of God? He is there studying the word of God. He says, hey, we cannot leave the studying of the word of God off and take care of all these widows. And so they found a, and they said, listen, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report. I like that. Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over, what's the next word? What's the next word? This business. Not checking up on the pastor, not making sure he's preaching right, not telling him how to run the church. He says, listen, we choose the this business. Deacon, your glorified responsibility is to what? Serve tables. Make sure the widows are taken care of. That's your job. By the way, it's kind of interesting. They had seven deacons for 8,120 people. Interesting. They had 12 pastors, though. Wherefore, brethren, look you among honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves, what's the next word? Continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. So, in all this, these men of God who are to perfect the saints, we're not responsible of making sure there's enough hot dogs on the table, everybody get fed. Their responsibility is to continue in prayer and reading God's Word. So what? They know how to perfect the saints. They say, oh, here's a concept. Here's something in the Word of God. We need to teach to our people because we see that this is kind of a thing that's going on. When I see things going on in church, I start to preach against it. Or preach for it. I see some grumbling and complaining. I see some people are not walking close to God. I'll say, you know what? Our people need this. Maybe I missed. Maybe I haven't perfected them in that area. And so my responsibility to you is to make sure that I got all my guns loaded and I got plenty of ammunition that I'll come and not to lord over, but to help you get through that situation, help you be better. That's all it is. I love you. Why would a man ever take a job like this, I'd like to ask? Why would a man, I could go to work. You know, I could go to work and come home, take care of mama, take care of the kids, go to Walmart. Why would a man want to take a job that he's on call 24/7, 365? Why would a man want to do that? And Paul the Apostle, he tells all the different things going on in his life, and he says, and for the care of the churches. There's a lot of care goes on. Do you understand that? I don't have to deal with just one family. I have to deal with a whole gobble of families. I have whole different circumstances, all different kinds of walks of life. All of that. Why in the world would a guy ever want to have a job like this? I don't know. But I sure love it. Because God has given me that love. And I love you, and I tell you, I think of you, and I pray for you. And sometimes my heart is grieved when I may hear something that somebody's doing or somebody's about to do something and I grieve about it. And I said, oh God, did not I perfect them in that area? Didn't I teach them properly? Didn't I bring them to the point in their life? I talked to a man the other day and I said, but there's a biblical principle. And he said, I don't care. I said, what do you mean you don't care about a biblical principle? This is what the Bible says you ought to do. It. I don't care. I'm tired of it. That's why the Bible says it'd be better that the pastor said good things about you than grieved before God about you. Why? Why did these disciples, these apostles say, we need to be continuing in prayer in the Word of God? I'll tell you why. So that they could continue to perfect the saints. This was their holy call. This was their mission of life. God had called them to work among God's people, to shape them, to teach them how to tell the world of the Savior, to coordinate all the efforts for the cause of Jesus Christ. Remember, this is the basic concept of all local churches. I want you to understand that. This is the concept. The basis of all local churches. This is the necessary. It's necessary for us to understand that this is the part of the foundation of local church. That there has to be someone who would take on that responsibility to perfect the saints. Someone's got to teach you. Some of you wrestlers, some of you football players, some of you baseball players, there are certain rules of the game that have to be followed. And be very honest with you, you like rules. Because you can really get hurt unless there's a reason for rules. And you can, I saw yesterday where, I think it was, I'm just flipping the channel, I saw Fresno and San Diego State were playing, and the guy hit the helmet with his helmet. Sideways. Well, I killed the guy. I'd break his neck. And there's a rule. You're out of the game. Kicked him out of the game. And people were saying, well, that's not fair. He could have. Well, okay. I'd rather caution on the, and be there, than have someone not walk the rest of his life for some stupid game. And you're listening to a football player. I mean, I put bodily injury on people. But I'm going to tell you something. You like rules. You don't want somebody to come up behind you and clip you. You don't want somebody to grab a hold of your face mask or rag you out like a bulldog on your head. There's rules. In the same way the little church, there are certain rules that govern us so that we are safe. Aren't you glad about rules? Aren't you glad about laws? You mess with me, I'm not causing any problem. Leave me alone. Hello. I need a restraining order on this certain person. By the way, if there's any confrontation in your home, you make sure you get immediate assistance. And the first time he or she hits you, the Bible talks about Romans chapter 13, you call 911. If that person hits you, they're going against every principle of the Word of God. And God says there are God's ministers. I'm not the only minister that you have to deal with. And they do not bear the sword in vain. Shame on people to do that. I don't like that. Well, then don't do it. God gave men to serve him. God gave men to serve him in the church. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why? To shape in you, to lead you, to furnish you with the truth, to remind you to walk circumspectly in the world. I see some people going like this. Are you very hot? Can you stand with me about 3 more minutes? First of all, the preacher's responsibility. Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, and he said, you're to perfect. So the word perfect is kind of not so common to us, but perfect is, listen to this, to make perfect. I didn't say it. That's what dictionary said, to make perfect. My responsibility is to perfect the saints, or to make perfect the saints. It also has this idea to bring to perfection. This word is used in the noun tense of verbs used in describing action to be completed. So it's supposed to be an ongoing thing. Paul had taught them well to process the process of perfecting, or the state of being perfect, perfect person or thing, literally to hit the mathematical center of the target with mathematical precision. Bullseye! We like that. We like bullseye. We like right there. We like to shoot a group of 50 and be able to cover it with your hand. We love that. That precision. And God said, the perfecting of the saints is always hitting the bullseye. Make sure to say, hey, you need to put 2 clicks to the left on that, or 2 clicks up, or 2 clicks down, so you get in the bullseye. And the preacher's telling you, hey, some of your scopes are off. One time I went hunting with my boy, and he shot, and I saw the bullet hit over here, and here's the animal here. I said, good night, what's going on? And he said, you know, Pa, I bumped my gun. And so, it takes a lot of work to get that baby back in right, doesn't it, fellas? Girls, and get that bullseye. You take a pretty good beating sometimes. You shoot 300 Winchester Magnum, 328 or something. Bow, man, you're taking it. But you want that to get back in, and that's exactly what Paul is saying, the perfecting. Get it now. Hit the mathematical center of the target with mathematical precision. The Greek word. Oh, I'm going to astound you here. Kataramas. It is the late rare word, come from the Galician language, has this idea of a medical sense. To get them better, to be healed. Boy, isn't that great? That overwhelmed me when I studied it. I thought, boy, here it is. Here's a doctor. He comes in. He wants to make you well. How many glad that there's doctors out here? And his responsibility is get you well. Doc, I'm sick. I can't do nothing about it. I've been taking this. I've been drinking cough syrup. I've been rubbing this on it. It's not working. Doc says, well, I'll tell you what we got to do. We got to cut it out. Or we got to fix it. And we are willing to go through all that pain and suffering to get fixed. What's wrong with us Christians? Instead of quitting the church and running off to some other place and making a more mess over there, why don't you just stay and let the doctor take care of you and cut it out, and it's going to hurt and it's going to fix you, and bless God, you're shot. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Boy, I'm glad I had that operation. Amen. Perfecting the saints. That preacher up here many times come with his very delicate scalpel and carefully, without quiver his hands, cuts that little place out. And it hurts sometimes. Go to the doctor and you got a tooth. It's feeling bad. The doctor says, well, I can do this or do that. And you know you got to have your mouth open like a lion. And he's got both hands in there. And it's hurting. But you know that it's going to be better someday. And you say, okay, Doc, go ahead. Why won't we do that in church? Why won't you let me perfect you? Why do you fight me? Why do you shove me away? Why are you like a little child that's got a loose tooth and I can just go in there and get it out of there, but you fight me and bite me and do everything you need to? What's wrong with us? Hey, life has its problems and sorrows. You have difficulties even with your spouse. You have difficulties with your family. Hey, hey, hey! You don't quit your family over it. Some people do. Some people say, that's enough. I'm going down to the courthouse. I'm done with you. But there's others that say, not going that way. I will do everything. I love you so much. I will give everything I have to keep you. I'll do everything I can to make your life happy. Then why in the world in a church will you peel out and get mad and throw dirt and stone and rubbish? And explain that to me. The preacher's here to perfect the saints. And sometimes he does get bit, and sometimes he does get kicked in the shins, and sometimes he does get his nose busted, and sometimes people tell him that, I won't tell you. It's also found in the papyri, the word perfecting. And in the papyri, it talks about for a house, finishing a house. Get this. The Authorized Version translated with the idea of perfecting or complete finishing, to make perfect, to equipping. After a house has been built, is that finished? You've got to bring your beds in there and your couches and your guns and your toasters and your ovens and your clothes, and you got to keep working on it to finish it. What's a pastor do? Hey, here's something you need to learn how to do. You need to tell people about Jesus Christ. Hey, you need to live a godly life. And I'm trying to get you to finish your house. When we accept Christ as our personal Savior, when we get born again, we're just brand new at this thing. We don't understand a lot of things in the Christian life, do we? No. And so your pastor perfects the saints by helping you finish your life as a Christian. To make perfect, to mend. Listen to that. To mend. To fit, to frame, to prepare, to restore, to perfectly join together. That's what he says. That's what perfecting is. For the perfecting of the saints. Here's some more. To render, to fit, to make it sound. To complete. That what was broken to be repaired. How many have a broken heart? How many have been broken? Did you know the responsibility of the pastor is to perfect the saints, to make that which is broken fixed? That's why you come to church. You can't get it at home. You can't have your little home house. You can't get it any place. You can't go to evangelistic meetings and get it. You need to get it at your own house, the house of God, Heritage Baptist Church, Pastor S.C.'s your pastor, so that he can perfect the saints, so you may do great things for God. You can't get that any place else. You can't get it listening to the radio. You can't get it watching TV. You only can get it in your local church, whether you like it or not. You can stump it. You can bump it. You can thump it. I don't care what you say. I'm telling you, the only place, according to God's word, of the perfecting saints is here. Right here. Now, if you can't get it here and you ain't getting here, then you need to go someplace where you can get perfected. The Bible said, live peaceably of all men. That's a wonderful thing. The Bible also says, thank God, if at all possible. Live peaceably with all men, if at all possible. There are some people that are impossible. And you're thinking of one right now. And I hope it's not me. But if when you read the scriptures here, chapter 4, it says, I therefore, then he goes down here, with all love, lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another. endeavoring to, you know what an endeavor is? The core of the discovery. They were endeavoring. They didn't just get off of St. Louis and stop at the Mandan. They kept endeavoring. They kept going. It was hard. Some of you guys are runners. You know there's something called endeavoring. Boy, you want it quick. The legs are burning. You can't hardly get your breath. You haven't got that second breath yet. You know what I'm talking about. I don't know what it is for a long time, but I remember when I used to run a lot. And you burn, and you're pumping iron, like I used to do, throw bales, and your arms are so, they're just red hot, they're on fire. But you can't quit. You still got to have more hay in that barn, or you're not going to make it through the winter time. And so you keep throwing. And you guys that are in sports, you know, you just got to keep going, and keep going. When you think you're going to die, you take the next step. I read a great book. Dr. Sis wrote it. It's called The Fourth Quarter. Anybody that's 50 years old and older needs to read that. And in his beginning of this book, he talks about what would a football team do if they only played three quarters and just let up for the fourth quarter. They never win, will they? And he says the same thing with you senior citizens. You think it's okay, it's up to the kids now. Let them pull their load. No. You don't do that. You keep it going as far as you, as long as God gives you a little grit, and God gives you a tongue to speak and a heart to beat, and as long as you got breath, you keep serving God and you don't quit. You're not gonna get that from people out here outside of here. Because they're gonna say, hey, retire. Go to Palm Springs. Go to Arizona. Take it easy. You know what? God didn't build this body to take easy. The Bible says this old body's to work. I sit down for a while. I got all, my granddad used to call it, get all stoved up. That means the things just don't work as fast as they used to work. But you keep going. You keep serving. It talks about the frame for oneself to prepare ethically, to strengthen, perfect, to complete, make one what he ought to be for perfecting. Proton kardosma. This kardosis of 2 Corinthians chapter 13:9 are mended together. It means for the mending or the repair of saints upon, listen now, the building up. This is the ultimate goal of all varied gifts. You know what the gift was of God? So that these men would build you up. It's the greatest gift that God ever gave you in life. Is your preacher would build you up to encourage you. He may slap you on the back and say, hey, come on now. Come on. Don't you be late. Hey, come on. Let's be faithful. Come on. Let's go soul with him. Come on. Let's tell our neighbor about Jesus. Hey, quit your smoking there. Quit your drinking there. Quit your... Man, he's fussing with you all the time. So thank God for that. Because all he's trying to do is to build you up, to make you better, to make you stronger. For that day, someday, we will stand before a holy God. And we will give an account for the things we've done good and things we've done bad in this body that God has given us. Perfecting the saints. You come back tonight, I'll give you a little bit more of it, all right? I got some really stuff I want to tell you. But I want you to catch this. I want you to catch when someone comes and says, you know what? When your pastor comes to you and puts his arm around and says, you know, hey, I'm concerned about your attendance. I'm concerned about your giving. I'm concerned about the way you're treating your wife, the way you're treating your children. I'm concerned about your lifestyle. Yes, that is your pastor's responsibility. Amen. You know, I don't think you ought to do that. I don't think you ought to go to that. I don't think you ought to What am I trying to do? You think I'm trying to build myself up? Do you know how hard that is for a preacher to come tell you that? Because Satan says, they ain't going to listen to you anyway. They're just going to get mad. They're going to leave the church over it because you're such a old fuddy-duddy. Every time I talk to somebody, I take a chance of losing your heart. And you're my family. You're all I got. I've given you 31 years of the best years of my life. Hopefully I've got a lot more better ones coming. But I've given you that. Not because I had to. Because God's called me to. I have been given blessings of God to pastor a church like this. But I'm staying with the stuff. And I'm going to keep the course. And the bus is heading north. You want to get on? Get on. But it's heading north. Heading right to heaven. North is heaven, you know. I'm not talking about Canada. I'm talking about heaven. Father,